from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, we are all excited about the Falcons being out on the field now, right? And no, I was so excited about the Braves being out on the field. Well, when was the last time that happened? Yeah, the Falcons are playing. The Braves. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where we're at, I think. It's 2024. Welcome to the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you for the next 3 hours. This is your show at 404-726-0929. Like you to call in. We have a conversation here. We might disagree. If we do, well, just don't be disagreeable. It's okay. We disagree. You got an opinion. I got an opinion. You got a view. I got a view. You got a take. I got a take. You might be a swamper, in which case we disagree. I'm going to be right, but we'll still disagree without being disagreeable. That's all. I'll just be right. As we discuss the Falcons today, we heard from the coach. We heard from the quarterback. We heard from the star defenders. We heard from the big guns. Right? Oh, the big guns. We'll play some of that audio, ask you questions about it through and through. But as you know, we are also keeping our eye on what's going on up in New York, where unfortunately it's bright sunshine and not going to rain. Because, you know, right now, I don't know why. Watch, the Braves will go into New York against the MESS, and they will annihilate them over four games. And Olson will have like six home runs in the four games, and everybody will be, we got this, we're good. Everything's fine. I told you, one thing you got to be careful of here is false positives, right? False positives. A false positive could happen. False positive, for those of you who don't know, especially you swampers who don't understand double negatives or false positives, is the Braves go on like an 8-game, 9-game win streak, win 11 out of 12, something like that. Everything's hunky-dory. Everybody's hitting. Riley's hitting. Murphy's hitting. Arcia finally started hitting. Here comes Harris back into the lineup. Well, I don't know about that, but because that's not going to happen. And then Olson, you know, everything's going swimmingly for the Braves, and you think, oh, we got this, and then it kind of all reverts to the mean. Because when we talk about back of the baseball card, we're talking about the 2024 baseball card, which you know, obviously no good. 404-726-0929, 100 games down, 62 to go for the Atlanta Braves. First of four in New York, Chris Sale against Luis Severino tonight. Braves begin the night 9 back of the Phillies, 1.5 ahead of the Mets in the race for the top wild card spot. Of course, there are 2, but it's not like, oh, okay, well, they're like 5 or 6 or 7 games ahead of the team in third place, right? So they're good. No, they're 1.5 ahead of the Mets, and they're like 1.5 ahead of the team in third place. Oh, well, then they're like 5 or 6 or 7 games ahead of the team in fourth place. No, they're 1.5 ahead of the Mets, like 1.5 ahead of the team in third place, and like 2 ahead of the team in fourth place. Well, fifth, no, they're like 2 ahead of the team in fifth place. Well, no, 3. No, they're like 2 ahead of the team in sixth place. And one of those teams today, how many people got, why didn't we go get Dylan Cease? Because if you didn't hear, Dylan Cease, who was with the White Sox, who a lot of us said in the offseason this past, hey, go see if you can get Dylan Cease from the White Sox. They finally let him go, and when he went to San Diego, all he did today was throw a no-hitter. That's it. He's just a no-hitter. And, of course, Braves pitchers tonight, they can throw a no-hitter, and what would that mean? Probably extra innings. I'm just saying. That's all. I mean, that's it. Get a ghost runner on second base. The boss tonight, of course, is Oren Romain. He is the technical director, the executive producer, the call screener, the second banana, the all-around good guy. He does everything. He's cutting all the audio. He's posting up to the internet. You have no idea. I swear. You think, like, Mike Bell, Mike Johnson, Andy, Randy, Squid, any of these people actually do any work? You know, Carl, me? No, we don't do no work. I mean, we do a little studying, and we talk on a microphone. No. Oh, Bo Johnson, Abe Gordon, you know, Dylan, you know, Oren, they're the ones who do all the work. They have the hard job. Am I overselling this at all, Oren, or no?
I appreciate that, John. You saying it that way, yes.
Yes, I think yes. And I still think that we should have had, like, you know, a day to celebrate, you know, all the you don't probably know this. I tried to get all the hosts together to take out all the producers and the board ops one day for, like, dinner and stuff. I couldn't get them to go along with me. I'm like, let's just take them all out for dinner on us. Say thank you. I don't know.
Not
so much.
I don't
want to
be
up that late. I tried. I went, okay. I gave up on that idea. That was about 7-8 years ago. I gave up on that idea. I went, oh, okay. All right. Fine. 404-726-0929. Falcons camp going on. Kirk Cousins medically cleared after the video of him walking in yesterday, right? Medically cleared. We'll hear from Kirk Cousins. We'll hear coming up. We'll also in these 3 hours hear from Raheem Morris. How they're going to handle this. Everything's going to happen real fast because they're going to be on the field tomorrow. Then Saturday night, about, as a matter of fact, less than 48 hours from now, they will be in Buford at Seckinger High for one of the two open practices. The one at Seckinger High on Saturday night is going to be free. It's from 6 to 8. I don't know how that will look in terms of volume of people and parking, okay? I know that when they've held these kind of open practices in the past, like one at Buford High, I mentioned a number of years ago, there were probably 8,000 people there, okay? So if you want to go to the one on Saturday night at Seckinger High, I don't want you to be mad at me if I say you should show up at 4:15, and you show up at 4:15, you know, there's nobody here, you know, and then you get in there at 6, there's like 200 people here. Hey, that freaky lied to us. I don't know how it's going to go. I have a feeling it could be an awful lot of people there. And I'm just saying that if you want to get a place where you can actually sit and park, you might want to go early. Yeah, it's just a thought. That's all. That'll be Saturday night as we ramp this whole thing up. And then, of course, it's going to be ramped up real fast because we're looking at joint practices with the Dolphins down in Miami on August the 6th. Well, what is that, 12 days from now? They're going to have joint practices with the Miami Dolphins on the 6th and 7th. And, of course, they're going to be playing 2 weeks from tomorrow in the first preseason game against the Dolphins down there at Hard Rock Stadium. All right, 404-726-0929. A lot to get into, a lot of Falcons talk. We'll hear from the coaches, we'll hear from Grady, we'll hear from Kirk. We'll do that throughout the show. And, of course, the Braves taking on the MASS, mess in New York City. I have worked in New York City twice, lived there twice. I am so thankful I never have to go back. That's all I can tell you. If I ever want to go back to New York, I don't have to go back. Look, if New York is your thing, if that's your deal, if New York is your vibe, if it's your jam, whatever the kids are saying these days, good. Congrats. Love you. I appreciate that. Go back to New York. Okay? Ain't my jam. Okay? Not my jam. did two tours of duty there. Done. We've got a couple of guys named DJ. Let's go to the first named DJ here. He gets to bat leadoff tonight on 92.9 The Game tonight. Hey, DJ, what up?
Hey, John. How you doing, man? I just want to get on and talk about the Braves. Longtime Braves fan ever since I was a kid. And, you know, the one thing I feel with this season, it just feels deflated. And I'm not really sure if it's as much the struggles as it seems like there's something missing. You know, I was talking to a buddy last night about this, and we just talked about how it's just leadership seems to be something they're lacking. And I'm not really sure if it's, you know, that there's nobody capable. It just seems like there's not really anybody taking that charge. You know, they're all cold at the same time. They're not supporting the pitching staff. It just feels like a lot of wasted effort, too, on the pitching staff. You know, you got Sale having a great year. Freed's been great. And they're putting up these great efforts. I mean, 7 innings or longer in a lot of cases. And it just feels like something's missing, and I just wish I could pinpoint what that is.
Oh, well, let's see. Olson's bat, Riley's bat, Murphy's bat, now Ozzie's bat, Harris's bat, Acuna's bat. Let's see what else we got here. Who am I missing? Anybody else here?
Pretty much everybody.
I mean, hitting. Hitting. Hitting.
That's what I'm saying.
Duvall's bat, Rosario's bat. Yeah. Ain't nobody hitting.
They say it's infectious, right?
Still say, I was having a conversation with a former, with a couple of different conversations with former players. One with Daryl Chaney, who was, for you old heads, oh geez, Daryl Chaney was starting shortstop, leadoff hitter for the Braves in the late 70s, called into the show. No, he listens quite often on the weekends to me. So he just calls in randomly. I've had him on three or four times. And DJ, he said to me, and this echoed by another person as well, and I'm trying to remember who the second person was, but it'll come to me, that they believe it, because I believe it, that the baseball is different this year. And those 415-foot home runs, 420-foot home runs, are turning into 390-foot outs. Because there was a stat, DJ, that I wish I still had, and it was probably 3 weeks ago, that the Braves were like, I don't know what they are, 19th in home runs this year. Maybe they've gotten a little bit better or something. They're really – they're not even hit half of what they hit last year, and 307 last year. And yet they were still in, like, the top four in baseball in all those next-gen stats of exit velocity and, you know, barrel balls and all that kind of stuff. So they're hitting the ball and striking out more than they have in the past. But when they do hit it, they're hitting it. It's just not going anywhere but to the warning track.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it just, the hitting's infectious, right? So when I talk about leadership or talk about somebody in the clubhouse, it feels like there's, I mean, Marcelo Zuna is doing his job, right? But how is it that everybody else, it is very odd, and it might be the ball. I don't know for sure. I don't know enough about that, but it definitely is frustrating. And I just wish that there was a quick fix action. I'm not really sure that Alex Anthopoulos can do anything to really rectify it. It's got to come from the inside of that locker room.
Oh, that I agree with. I have been preaching that for a long time. You know, that they miss Ron Washington, they miss Eric Young. And I sit here and say, you know, injuries are not an excuse. But, and this year I'm kind of looking at injuries going, when you lose A.J. Minter and Tyler Matzek and Max Fried and Sean Murphy and Austin Riley and Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies twice, Ronald Acuna for the year, Spencer Strider for the year, at some point you just kind of go, okay, you're right. You walk into the locker room and you go, where is everybody? Where did everybody go? Oh, there's Zach Short. Hi, Zach. Hey, don't throw a pop-up fly from second base into left field, okay? Thanks. You know what I mean?
I completely get it. But, yeah, I hope the best for the Braves, and I want to see them win out. But, like I said, just the reality of the situation. And I'm going to keep watching. Still a great fan, but it is what it is. Thanks for your time, John.
I appreciate it, DJ. Steven's on with us here, 404-726-0929. Going to be a bit of a deep dive into the Falcons, but we can talk Braves all you want, because I'll talk Braves till I'm blue in the face here. Hey, Steven.
Good evening. This is Steven J. Checkdown. So good to talk to you. I'm hyped about the Falcons, and I think we need to be prepared, though. I'm predicting that we're going prematurely, but I'm predicting that we're going 11-6. After starting 0-3, I think we're going 11-6. You look at our schedule, we have a tough schedule coming out, but I think we're going to need to get our footing with the new coaching, with the new players, with the new system. But at the end of our season, midway through to the end of the season, and you don't know how teams are going to be. The good teams may be bad teams may be good teams from last year. But based on what I know from last year, I'm predicting 11-6.
All right, so I'm going to actually ask you question number two, because I know how you're going to answer it. This was my second question of the night, and I was going to do it at 7:40, but I'll do it now. What is the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South? Taking out, by the way, injuries, okay? Because nobody knows nothing about nothing when it comes to injuries, all right? Injuries happen. You just don't know to who, how bad, when, all that kind of stuff. What is the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South? One, too many new changes, coaches. Hang on, let me give you the three options. That's okay. Too many new changes, coaches, players, schemes, too many new changes. The division being better than the experts think it is. They all say it's the worst division in the NFL. I'm not sure it is. I've looked around. I think there may be better two or three divisions. And the difficult schedule to start the season. What's the biggest obstacle?
I think it's the changes. I think it's close between the changes and the difficult start, because you have to have the mental fortitude to get beyond a bad start based on our history. But because of the changes, that's kind of a no-brainer to me. So many changes. New offense, new defense, new coaches, new players. A lot of new. But I think we're going to do it.
Yeah, a lot of new.
In fact, I know we're going to do it.
Yeah, a lot of new. And do appreciate that. Thank you, Stephen. 404-726-0929. The other DJ and everybody, hang on. You want to chat about the Braves? I'll talk Braves till I'm blue in the face. No topic is off the table here. Not the way I roll, but a lot of Falcons tonight. When we get back in a moment, we'll kind of launch into spreading this. We're going to sprinkle some sound in here, what Kirk Cousins had to say about the final part of his rehab as he is getting ready to start under center with the Atlanta Falcons, and he's running with the first team now on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, it's kind of always a goal to try to speed up the process, but I also learned as it was my first time coming back from a surgery, you know, you only want to speed up as much as your body lets you. So at the end of the day, speeding it up is not as important as just letting your body heal. And if anything, I probably, you know, at times tried to force it too much, and you just got to let it happen. So learned a lot going through the process, and now looking forward to really the last part of the rehab is playing football. I think that's what I need to do now is make cuts, be in football cleats, play football, and that's really how I'm going to rehab this thing to the finish line.
Kirk Cousins talking about getting ready. He is running with the number ones to begin the season here, begin the camp here. He is he's going to be the guy, so he's got to get his – he's going to be the guy this year. I know that – look, I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. For those of you who never watched college football, didn't watch him at Indiana, didn't watch him at Washington, you're going to be, hey, this guy's going to be our – and I know that, and it's great, and it's wonderful, but just keep in mind that Kirk Cousins is the guy at the very minimum for this season. And welcome back to 92.9 The Game tonight live from the Northern Kia Studios, 7:22 in the evening. Don't tell me you never get a chance. We never get a chance to call in and talk about this or that or any. This is your show. And with Steven, who was talking to me about my second question there, about what is your biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South, you can weigh in. It opens up a line at 404-726-0929. The actual first question that I had in store for you is about Kirk Cousins. Now, let's get one other soundbite from Kirk out of the way here. Talking today, the new starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, you're probably not going to see him. Unless you go to, like, Second Year High or you go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you probably won't see him actually in a Falcons uniform, certainly not on TV, at least playing not on TV, until he shows up to take a snap against T.J. Watt and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because as much as he wants to play in the preseason, well, I don't think we're going to see that, at least not according to one Kirk Cousins.
I want to play, but I think that ask fell on deaf ears. I think, you know, Raheem's model is you're not playing. Like, that's just not – and I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his approach was like, that's just not how we want to do things. I'm sure maybe I could persuade him. Maybe there's a conversation. Who knows how the Dolphins practices go. Maybe he wants to see us in the game. It's just so much that can change. But, yeah, I think seeing live bullets and playing is helpful, but I also understand the logic behind not doing it. And you know, everything we do is calculated, and that will be as well.
And I understand Kirk wanting to play in the preseason. I understand Raheem not wanting him to play in the preseason. But there's a third part to this, too. You know, I mean, Kirk wants to play because he wants to get into some action. He wants to come off his injury. He wants to test his foot in live game action. He's going to get a little bit of that in the practices against the Dolphins, but he wants to be on the field at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He wants to see the field, get a feel for his brand-new team. I also understand that Raheem Morris puts him out there in the third preseason game against Jacksonville. He steps funny, and there goes that Achilles again, and everybody's screaming how bad a head coach he is, and oh my God, you just shot our season down, and you just did, they're wasted $100 million. And again, I think we all understand that it's so different, and it's so unique that when it happens in a regular season game, that's one thing. When it happens in a preseason game, that's kind of another, right? So we want to make sure he's ready for the opening game of the year. The third part of this is not just physically ready to make kind of football moves as he was talking about. I'm not just talking about, look, Kirk Cousins isn't going to, Matt Ryan, okay? He ain't running for first downs. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not even sliding all that much. He's a step up and throw it in the pocket passer, okay? But he is a guy that has to be able to do that. He has to be able to slide a little bit, step up a little bit, make football plays. And in addition, he's got to do that with a brand new offensive line, with a brand new set of wide receivers, brand new running backs, brand new offense, brand new team. And so you don't have a whole lot of time, as the one caller, you know, Steven said, hey, listen, we don't have a whole lot of time here. Because they're coming in, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that first game of the year, Russ Wilson, you know, he's healthy, and Justin Fields, he's healthy, and Mike Tomlin's coming in, and we know how big a chore that is against those folks, and so that'll be a challenge. Then you go right back-to-back night games on the road at Philadelphia and then back home against Kansas City. And then everybody looks at that and goes, oh, my God. You know, but they don't look at weeks 4 and 5. Guys, that's tough. Weeks 4 and 5 are critical, okay? Like the game against Pittsburgh and the game against Kansas City, they're not necessarily critical. I mean, they're important. You want to win every game you win. You want to get up to speed. You want to get the offense clicking. The Philadelphia game is more important because it's a conference game. It's weeks 4 and 5, which are Tampa and New Orleans, okay? And they're home games. And so you got to beat the Saints. If you're going to win this division, you have to beat the Swampers at home. If you're going to win the division, you got to beat Tampa at home. So if you come out of week 5 and you're 3-2 and you somehow manage to go 1-2 in the first three games and beat the Swampers and beat Tampa, okay, we're going to be in pretty good shape. All right? I'm just saying. 3-2 after week 5 is pretty good shape as long as you're 2-0 in the division. I'm just telling you it's a numbers game. If you happen to beat Philadelphia, even better. You go and stun them on the road or something. You know, I mean, whatever the case is, you have to win the games against the Swampers and the Bucks. Those are the two critical games. The other games are important. They're not critical. We follow? Okay, we follow. Good. 404-726-0929. So the first question, you just heard him say he wants to play in the preseason. You heard him say, you know, the hardest part of the rehab is the kind of the final 10% there where, you know, I'm trying to push it a little bit too much. And, you know, some people were reacting, oh, it looks like he's walking with a limp. Oh, my God, look at the video. He's taking his suitcase and he's got a Hawks jersey on. And he went, oh, my God. All right, so they were all panicky here. What is your confidence level? And I know you're not a doctor, and I know you're not going to see him at practice, but just broadly, what's your confidence level that Kirk Cousins is going to be a full go against the Steelers? And if he doesn't play in preseason, what's your confidence level that it's going to be okay? I don't know how to describe that except to say, you know, obviously the offense under Kirk Cousins, presuming he stays healthy all year and offense stays healthy, that by week 12 and week 14, it's going to look a lot different than it did in weeks 1, 2, and 3 because they've just gotten to know each other and kind of fallen into a rhythm and, okay, I know where I'm going with the ball, who I can trust, you know, those kind of things that you have to learn over the course of time and, you know, how the ball is delivered by your new center. You know, the ball may come out to you differently. And so what is your confidence level that Kirk Cousins will be a full go against the Steelers, either or both, physically or kind of, you know, in a timing sense, if he didn't play in the preseason? And since we already brought it up, I'll throw the second Falcons question in too, if you prefer that one. What is the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South this year? Is it too many new changes with all the coaches, all the players, all the schemes? Is it the difficult schedule to start the season that we just went over? Or is it the division being better than experts say it is? And I throw that in there because I'm going to tell you something. The Falcons played 5 of their first 6 division games by week 10. this division is going to be better, I think, than most people say. I expect Carolina to be better. I expect Tampa to be at the worst the same and maybe slightly better. The Saints are the one team I can't put my finger on because it's highly possible that the Saints might just sort of shut it down without telling anybody they're going to shut it down. If I were, I would never be in charge of the Saints. I wouldn't want to be down there. You'd have to drag me and kicking and screaming to go down there. Hey, run this team. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'll run it into the ground. That's exactly what we want you to do, is to run it into the ground. And we go, okay, go, good. I'll be happy to run it into the ground. Because we got to run it into the ground to build it back up. Oh, okay, well, I'll be the one. I'll run it into the ground for you. How does 84-0 against the Falcons sound? Hey, you losing to them by 12 touches, is that okay? Yeah, we don't care. Don't care about the score. Just don't win no more than 3 games. Oh, okay, good. I got that. Phil is with us, 404-726-0929. Braves underway against the MESS, and all these Falcons questions. Hey, Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks a lot. Glad to get through. The confidence level I have, I feel we're going to be better because we've only been losing one-score games for the last couple of years. So we've been that close to being even more so competitive. We lost one-score games last year. And also, I think the only thing that concerns me is the changes. You have to get used to all the changes. Like you said, you have a new quarterback coming in. It's got to get used to a new offensive line and new wide receivers. Schedule-wise, the Steelers are notoriously a slow-starting team. So the two games that would, if the outside of the conference games, would be Philly and the Chiefs. But I feel we could be 3-2 by that fifth game. That's my confidence level.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm certainly aiming for with this team, and I don't want Phil fans to panic if they lose to this. Oh, my God, we lost to the Steelers. You know, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but if you kind of take it broadly, if you believe that the team is going to be better, you know, towards the middle of the year and the end of the year, there's some things that work into its favor in the second half of the season. One is they have a late bye. It's week 12, and that is, matter of fact, it's a Thanksgiving bye. So it's a, you know, really kind of a good time to have a bye. And so to get healed back up here. And their schedule is, at least on paper as we look at it now, it never really works this way, Phil, but we'll just say that it is much more manageable, the last five, six, seven games of the year, in terms of the quality of the teams as we perceive them to be now. Do you follow?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the latter half. I mean, I'm looking at the whole schedule as a whole, and this team is, barring injuries, I'm feeling 11-6. I mean, there's no reason why we can't do that. You know, just I'm with you. I don't think we don't need to panic if we get off to a slow start, because seasons aren't won in that first five or six games. They're won on the second half of the season.
Yeah, so and again, this is the problem with the schedule. I appreciate it, Phil. Thank you very much. 404-726-0929. What is your confidence level that Cousins is going to be a full go against the Steelers if he doesn't play in the preseason? I mean, look at it this way. You know, he's talking about, you know, he doesn't want to rush it. But then again, we only have, you know, how long was it? It's September the 8th. So what's that? 6 weeks. We still have, it's still 6 weeks. But we have about 6 weeks until they tee it up and go. And you got to be ready. And so hopefully in 6 weeks he's full 100, full go, and that's great, and he'll get all the practice time in. Now, you could also look at it from this standpoint too, which is kind of compare this to college football, all right? College football has no preseason games, right? There ain't no preseason game. Georgia's not playing a preseason game. Alabama's got a new coach, right? They're not playing a preseason game. There are no preseason games. They're just jumping into the season. In Georgia's case, they're playing Clemson. Clemson to get no preseason games, you know, just go. So in that regard, it's not as hard as you think, because you've had so much practice time together now. By the way, we're talking 6 weeks from now. They've had so much practice time, it's just a matter of kind of getting into the flow of the game and getting used to the game and, all right, you know, just knowing where everybody's going to be. But, boy, you'd think 6 weeks they could probably figure it out. They are professionals. We do pay them a lot of money to do that, right? That's all I'm saying. 404-726-0929. What is your confidence level? My confidence level that he's going to be a full go is pretty strong for a couple of reasons. One, he's running with the first unit now, okay? He's running with the first team now. If there were a big, major issue here in practice, they wouldn't be doing that with him. They would find something else. It wouldn't be running him with the first team. They need to run him with the first team so that he gets used to the first team, again, for all those reasons we just went over, but it's also because they're confident that he can run with the first team and he's not going to hurt himself, okay? He's not going to get hurt. So I think my confidence level is actually pretty high that it'll be okay by the time he gets to the game against the Steelers. Now, the biggest obstacle, I think the biggest obstacle is actually the division being better than people think it is, because everybody focuses in on the first three games, and I'm trying to get you to see beyond that. I'm trying to get you to see those next two, 4 and 5, Tampa and New Orleans. I'm trying to get you to see. And you get through the first three, and you're doing, well, ah, we got this, and then you get you go up against Tampa and the Saints and the Swampers back-to-back, and you lose those two, and you're going, wait a minute now. Oh, wait, that actually meant more. Yeah. 404-726-0929. Let's talk a little Braves baseball. Let's talk a little bit of Falcons football on Sports Radio 929, the game tonight.
Yeah, it was no limitations. I think the precaution of Kurt, I think it was pretty much helpful from how we go about business of not keeping people away from him. And now there'll be people to be around him, and you feel comfortable with that and moving forward and doing some of those things. You know, obviously some of his limitations are coming about individual drill, some of our movement, making sure we don't wear him out to the point that we want to get all the team reps with him. So he's fired up. The team's fired up. The limitations for him, you won't notice either. That'll just be our own modification that we do, just being smart.
Raheem Moore is talking about getting Kirk Cousins ready for that season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And welcome back to 90-time, the game tonight. Falcons in camp. Coaches are talking. Stars are talking. Storylines are developing. And, of course, the big storyline, the first big storyline, normally it would be a new head coach like Raheem Morris, but we all understand that it's the quarterback position because, again, we went from one of the worst quarterback rooms in the entire NFL. You know, we went through Noodle Arm Quitter, we went through DoorDash Dez, we got guys throwing pop-up hand grenade passes in Carolina, and another guy throwing, passes rolling to his left to wide-open defensive backs, down at the five-yard line. I mean, just no bueno. No, I mean, just bad, right? I mean, we all get it, right? Running into the end zone. Hey, okay. So, we get it. It's not good, right? And we all understand that. And it's so funny to me that we went from, oh, and draft night, right? Oh, my God, what did you just do? You have a $100 million quarterback. Why did you go get a quarterback if you had a $100 million quarterback? Oh, my God. And it was just nonstop, screaming and tearing out hair and gnashing of teeth on the radio for 3 weeks, right? I mean, nonstop. What the hell are they doing? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I think, they went to Seattle and they fell in love and blah, blah, blah. I don't understand it. And now it's like reversed because I get so many people in who suddenly have like new girlfriend smell with Michael Penix. I mean, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see him. I mean, I'm just so excited now. I get just, I can't, it's just, I'm like, okay, relax, settle down here. You are going to see him in the preseason. You're going to see him a lot in the preseason. You're also going to see a lot of Taylor Heinicke. Why would we see a lot of talent? Because I tried to tell you the other night, God forbid, knock on wood here, that anything happens to Kirk Cousins between now and the Steelers game. If something did, the starting quarterback would not be Michael Penix. Okay? It would be Taylor Heinicke. Well, why would they do that? Because he's a veteran. He's been around for a number of years, and they've got to win a game. They will be in somewhat the same position as the Steelers, in that they've got a veteran. Now, granted, Taylor's not Russ, but I don't know that Michael Penix isn't Justin. I mean, he may be better. And so they're going to be suddenly looking at a situation where they're going to have to work Penix in somehow over the course of the first few weeks of the year to kind of lead the team. Now, having said that, here's what Raheem Morris had to say in regards to the backup quarterbacks behind Kirk Cousins.
You know, it won't be much different than what you're accustomed to, right? You know, obviously, Kurt took out first team reps. You know, Penix and Heinicke definitely split out second reps. And then Paddock was able to get what he can get. And we get to those moments and we get a chance to get Paddock some of those things. And usually those split days when we get a chance to get to the other field to be able to get those guys, those reps, to get those guys ready. Our walkthroughs and jogthroughs are very important for those guys. But it'll be exciting. It won't be much different than what you've accustomed seeing from the spring or what we did in OTAs.
Yeah, Paddock at the moment is probably a practice squad member, unless he gets elevated to that third emergency quarterback. Let's hope he does not, because if he does, that usually means something bad has happened, and so we don't want that. 404-726-0929. If you want to jump into the program, lines are open. First question to you is all about this. We're back to talking about quarterbacks now, because it is the overarching question at Falcons camp. It is the number one question that we face. Quarterbacks. What's your confidence level that Kirk Cousins is going to be a full go against the Steelers? You just heard the coach say they're splitting reps between Heinicke and Michael Penix. If push came to shove, Taylor Heinicke would start the Pittsburgh game. Now, he would start the game. Okay, start the game. And you'd see how it would progress with him. But there would be no hesitation on their part to put Michael Penix in. And as we go along in these three games against Miami, against Baltimore, and against Jacksonville, you already seen Taylor Heinicke, but you're going to see now Michael Penix. So you'd be able to kind of compare and contrast the two of them as to which way you want to go here. I think the Falcons would be in a situation, should anything happen to Kirk, that you would be going, okay, we lean on Taylor, and then we start to work Mike in without having to just throw him into the fire. I'd rather they didn't do that. But even if they did do that against Pittsburgh, there might not be any reason he couldn't succeed. And so then all of a sudden people go, why did you spend $100 million? So it went from, you spent $100 million, why did you draft a quarterback, to, oh, I like this quarterback, why did you spend $100 million? Okay, it's all right. I don't know what to tell you. Orrin Romaine, what is your confidence level about Kirk Cousins? You've heard him talk. You hear what Raheem says about him. What's your confidence level that he's going to be a full go opening day against the Steelers?
150,000%.
I wasn't aware that was a percentage, but I'll go with it.
We're going to, as the most confident any human could ever be about one particular thing, that's what I am right now about Kirk Cousins being able to suit up week one versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think they are.
Zero
too.
Doubts. And zero doubts.
Yeah, right. And the zero doubts come in, again, 404-726-0929. The zero doubt comes in when, look, you spent $100 million on this guy, guaranteed. It's 140 total. That you are not about to put him in a position where if the doctors say, I don't know, you know, because if you're in a position that everybody's going, oh, no, and shielding their eyes and holding their breath the first time he gets clocked in the backfield, you know, that's not a, you know, no, what's going to happen now? Okay, so I got to believe that he's in really good shape. And are they putting him in bubble wrap? Yeah, a little bit. Can't say I blame them. But at the same time, maybe they'll surprise us. And maybe, as Kirk said, might be a little bit fluid. Hey, listen, I go out there, I practice. I do well in the combined practices against the Dolphins. I continue to practice. By the time we get to the Jacksonville game, maybe I can convince them to let me go out there and get a couple series in with the first team offense just to get kind of the feel and the timing of the, okay, I'm in game action with these guys.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
That would actually... I don't think it's going to happen either, but it would make me feel a little bit better, Orrin.
Would it?
Yeah,
I think
a little bit.
Just him getting out of preseason healthy with whatever activity they decide to give to him is what's going to make me the happiest. As long as Kirk comes out healthy and ready to go week one for Pittsburgh, I don't care if he gets zero game snaps in preseason and the only action he sees is in that joint practice with Miami. I don't care if he gets two series. The number doesn't matter to me. Just the actual physical body of Kirk Cousins being ready to go week one versus Pittsburgh, that's what's going to make me the most confident right there. Just the fact that he's ready to go for Pittsburgh. So whatever needs to happen beforehand, if it means he gets snaps, if he doesn't get snaps, whatever it takes, that's what's going to give me the most confidence.
I got to tell you, too, I want to make sure that you understand, we are talking about the Braves tonight, too, at 404-726-0929. This series against the Mets, the question I was going to ask originally, this series is now underway at Citi Field in New York. It's four games, right? And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's correct. The Braves are on a seven-game road trip.
Right. First four of seven game. But this is the important part of it, because by the time this series ends, you will be right up on the trade deadline, okay? You'll be right up on it. And so I don't know, and maybe you can fill in a blank for me here, which is kind of better? Is it better? I mean, it's always better if they win, of course. I mean, I'm not talking about that. But is it better as far as the Braves' desire and ability to go out, spend money now, and go get somebody as good a player as they can get as starting pitcher in right field? Does it help if they lose three of the four and they're desperate to go get somebody? Or does it help if they win and sweep all four and they say, okay, let's go get the final piece? Or are you concerned if they sweep all four, they'll go, no, we'll just kind of hang with what we got? So I don't know which way to kind of go with this.
Why would they be more desperate now, John, than they were, say, like 2 weeks ago? Like, why does the desperation level change
because
now?
Well, here's – okay, I'll walk you through it. Because the price of poker is expensive. There are so many teams. San Diego won today on the Dylan Cease no-hitter. There are so many teams that think they can make the playoffs here, right? I mean, the Braves are in a group of like seven teams that are all within three games of the wild card with 60-some games to go. And they all look at it and say, if we make the right move now this week – we can make the playoffs. So there's going to be so many teams buying for so few players, all right? And so many teams are buying for so many. The price of poker is going to be expensive. Now, it's always parade over prospects. However, at what cost to you? You know, at what cost to you? Do you look at an A.J. Smith Shauver? Do you look at a – now, people would say, I don't care about Bryce Elder. I'm not sure about Ian Anderson, but you look at the youngsters like A.J. Smith-Shauver or Spencer Schwalenbach. All right, let's just stop for a second and take the four youngsters. Hurston Waldrop, A.J. Smith-Shauver, Spencer Schwalenbach, Owen Murphy. It's likely two of those four, if you don't trade them, it's likely two of those four are going to be in your rotation opening day next year, okay? And I don't know which of the two, which of the four are going to be. It could be. I doubt it's Owen Murphy. I think maybe you're just rushing him too fast. But so we'll take him out, though. I think he's going to be a starter for this franchise, but maybe not to the end of next year, unless they're forced to start him earlier. So it's likely that three of those three guys, two of them are going to be in the rotation, AJSS, Schwalenbach, or Hurston Waldrop. The one guy I think they don't want to part with is Hurston Waldrop. I think they look at those four guys and go, yeah, we really like Hurston. He's kind of he's going to be Strider-esque for us. And so we really don't want to give up on him. And so the question becomes, would you be willing to part with that if it meant getting a really quality player in right field in order to try to secure the wild card or to hang on to be in the playoffs? And I don't know, again, which way this series goes. You know, are you just trying to hang on? Because this goes sideways, and by Saturday morning, the Braves could be out of the wild card.
Well, and not, so, not I out, mean, out of the scrambling? Wild card, but just not in first place in the wild card anymore.
Well, I think they could actually be out.
I don't think if this series doesn't go well for them against the Mets, I don't think that's the end of the season for the Braves, so to speak. I don't think that's into the wild card for the Braves. I think
it's... Well, I mean, it's not the end of the season. The Braves are going to be 58 games to go. But, Orin, we talked earlier about confidence level. Who's got any confidence level in the team right now? I don't think the team's got confidence level in the team.
I think fans need to get in their heads that whatever moves the Braves make, it's not going to be along the same lines of, say, like the Dodgers or the Orioles. Teams like that who have the prospects and the cash to go after the big-name guys like the Tariq Skubals and guys like that. And
how do the Orioles have cash?
They have prospects.
Okay,
Orioles have prospects. Prospects and cash. Dodgers have both. Yeah, Dodgers have prospects and cash. Orioles have prospects. So those two teams can go swimming in the big waters. They can go shopping at the expensive grocery stores. The Braves aren't in that same boat right now. They're going to have to go.
Well, of course they are.
No, they're not in that boat.
Of course they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They don't have the same level of prospects. They don't have the same level of farm system.
No, but they have cash.
They don't have the cash that the Dodgers do. I read today that I read today, John, that the guy from the White Sox, what Crochet or whatever, whatever team he wants to go to, he wants a long term deal. Braves weren't even originally in the running for that guy. But that just takes them farther out of the running for a guy like that because there's no cash they can put up here extra for, like, it's gonna be a guy, John, like a Lane Thomas. It's gonna be a guy like a Lane Thomas.
But I just want to be clear here. I'm not arguing your point. You're probably right. It's going to be that other guy. Can we kind of, you know, find, again, you look at what they were able to do with the outfield just a couple of years ago. It wasn't did anybody No, I don't think anybody went.
It was chemistry
that
happened with
Solaire
those three guys. Chemistry, you know? And lineups and things like that. You were able to maneuver that around.
You're right, Oren. Don't make the mistake that we can't hold their feet to the fire and say they can spend whatever they want to spend. Okay,
it matters what Liberty Media does. Those are the people who
I don't want to hear money. I don't want to hear we can. Yes, you can spend it if you choose not to because you don't think somebody's worth it. That's one thing. If you don't want to spend it because you're too cheap, that's an entirely different thing. You know, because they certainly have the money to spend. This is this goes back to a conversation I had about 3 weeks ago. I'm sick and tired of Atlanta looking at, Baltimore. Baltimore's a puny little town, okay? It's a small little city. Atlanta is a megalopolis. We have to start thinking and acting like a major damn market, okay? So what, Chicago? Big deal, big whoop. We're Atlanta. We don't have two teams. We got one. You know, I mean, there's no reason we can't spend with the biggest spenders in the game. You know, but I don't think that automatically means, we're bigger than Philadelphia. Philadelphia spends fine, right?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, it was no limitations. I think the precaution of Kurt, I think it was pretty much helpful from how we go about business of not keeping people away from him. And now there'll be people to be around him, and you feel comfortable with that and moving forward and doing some of those things. You know, obviously some of his limitations are coming out individual drill and some of our movement, making sure we don't wear him out to the point that we want to get all the team reps with him. So he's fired up. The team's fired up. The limitations for him, you won't notice either. That'll just be our own modification that we do, just being smart.
Raheem Morris talking about getting Kirk Cousins ready for that season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And welcome back to 90.9 The Game tonight. Falcons in camp. Coaches are talking. Stars are talking. Storylines are developing. And, of course, the first big storyline, normally it would be a new head coach like Raheem Morris, but we all understand that it's the quarterback position because, again, we went from one of the worst quarterback rooms in the entire NFL. You know, we went through Noodle Arm Quitter. We went through DoorDash Dez. We got guys throwing pop-up hand grenade passes in Carolina, and another guy throwing, passes rolling to his left to wide-open defensive backs, down at the five-yard line. I mean, just no buenos. No, I mean, just bad, right? I mean, we all get it, right? Running into the end zone. Okay. We get it. It's not good, right? And we all understand that. And it's so funny to me that we went from – draft night, right? Oh my God, what did you just do? You have a $100 million quarterback. Why did you go get a quarterback if you had a $100 million quarterback? Oh my God. And it was just nonstop, screaming and tearing out hair and gnashing of teeth on the radio for 3 weeks, right? I mean, nonstop. What the hell are they doing? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I think, they went to Seattle and they fell in love and blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't understand it. And now it's like reversed because I get so many people in who suddenly have like new girlfriend smell with Michael Penix. I mean, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see him. I mean, I'm just so excited now. I'm like, okay, relax, settle down here. You are going to see him in the preseason. You're going to see him a lot in the preseason. You're also going to see a lot of Taylor Heinicke. Why would we see a lot of talent? Because I tried to tell you the other night, God forbid, knock on wood here, that anything happens to Kirk Cousins between now and the Steelers game. If something did, the starting quarterback would not be Michael Penix. Okay? It would be Taylor Heinicke. Well, why would they do that? Because he's a veteran. He's been around for a number of years, and they've got to win a game. They will be in somewhat the same position as the Steelers in that they've got a veteran. Now, granted, Taylor's not Russ, but I don't know that Michael Penix isn't Justin. I mean, he may be better. And so they're going to be suddenly looking at a situation where they're going to have to work Penix in somehow over the course of the first few weeks of the year to kind of lead the team. Now, having said that, here's what Raheem Morris had to say in regards to the backup quarterbacks behind Kirk Cousins.
You know, it won't be much different than what you're accustomed to, right? You know, obviously, Kirk took out first team reps. You know, Penix and Heineke definitely split out second reps. And then Paddock was able to get what he can get. And we get to those moments and we get a chance to get Paddock some of those things. And usually those split days when we get a chance to get to the other field to be able to get those guys those reps to get those guys ready. Our walkthroughs and jogthroughs are very important for those guys. But it'll be exciting. It won't be much different than what you've accustomed seeing from the spring and what we did in OTAs.
Yeah, Paddock at the moment is probably a practice squad member, unless he gets elevated to that third emergency quarterback. Let's hope he does not, because if he does, that usually means something bad has happened, and so we don't want that. 404-726-0929. If you want to jump into the program, lines are open. First question to you is all about this. We're back to talking about quarterbacks now, because it is the overarching question at Falcons camp. It is the number one question that we face, quarterbacks. What's your confidence level that Kirk Cousins is going to be a full go against the Steelers? You just heard the coach say they're splitting reps between Heineke and Michael Penix. If push came to shove, Taylor Heineke would start the Pittsburgh game. Now, he would start the game. Okay, start the game. And you'd see how it would progress with him. But there would be no hesitation on their part to put Michael Penix in. And as we go along in these three games against Miami, against Baltimore, and against Jacksonville, you already seen Taylor Heineke, but you're going to see now Michael Penix. So you'd be able to kind of compare and contrast the two of them as to which way you want to go here. I think the Falcons would be in a situation, should anything happen to Kirk, that you would be going, okay, we lean on Taylor, and then we start to work Mike in without having to just throw him into the fire. I'd rather they didn't do that. But even if they did do that against Pittsburgh, there might not be any reason he couldn't succeed. And so then all of a sudden people go, why did you spend $100 million? So it went from you spent $100 million, why did you draft a quarterback, to, oh, I like this quarterback, why did you spend $100 million? Okay, it's all right. I don't know what to tell you. Oren Romain, what is your confidence level about Kirk Cousins? You've heard him talk. You hear what Raheem says about him. What's your confidence level that he's going to be a full go opening day against the Steelers?
150,000%.
I wasn't aware that was a percentage, but I'll go with it.
We're going to, as the most confident any human could ever be about one particular thing, that's what I am right now about Kirk Cousins being able to suit up week one versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think they are
zero
too.
Doubts. And zero doubts.
Yeah, right. And the zero doubts come in, again, 404-726-0929. The zero doubt comes in when, look, you spent $100 million on this guy, guaranteed. It's 140 total. That you are not about to put him in a position where if the doctors say, I don't know, you know, because if you're in a position that everybody's going, oh, no, and shielding their eyes and holding their breath the first time he gets clocked in the backfield, you know, that's not a, you know, no, what's going to happen now? Okay, so I got to believe that he's in really good shape. And are they putting him in bubble wrap? Yeah, a little bit. Can't say I blame them. But at the same time, maybe they'll surprise us. And maybe, as Kirk said, might be a little bit fluid. Hey, listen, I go out there, I practice. I do well in the combined practices against the Dolphins. I continue to practice. By the time we get to the Jacksonville game, maybe I can convince him to let me go out there and get a couple series in with the first team offense just to get kind of the feel and the timing of the, okay, I'm in game action with these guys.
Yeah, which, I don't think that's going to happen.
That would actually, I don't think it's going to happen either, but it would make me feel a little bit better, Oren.
Would it?
Yeah,
I think
a little bit.
Just him getting out of preseason healthy with whatever activity they decide to give to him is what's going to make me the happiest. As long as Kirk comes out healthy and ready to go week one for Pittsburgh, I don't care if he gets zero game snaps in preseason and the only action he sees is in that joint practice with Miami. I don't care if he gets two series. Like, the number doesn't matter to me. Just the actual physical body of Kirk Cousins being ready to go week one versus Pittsburgh, that's what's going to make me the most confident right there. Just the fact that he's ready to go for Pittsburgh. So whatever needs to happen beforehand, if it means he gets snaps, if he doesn't get snaps, whatever it takes, that's what's going to give me the most confidence.
I got to tell you, too, I want to make sure that you understand, we are talking about the Braves tonight, too, at 404-726-0929. This series against the Mets, the question I was going to ask originally, this series is now underway at Citi Field in New York. It's four games, right? And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's correct. The Braves are on a seven-game road trip.
Right. First game, first four of seven game. But this is the important part of it, because by the time this series ends, you will be right up on the trade deadline. Okay, you'll be right up on it. And so I don't know, and maybe you can fill in a blank for me here, which is kind of better. Is it better? I mean, it's always better if they win, of course. I mean, I'm not talking about that. But is it better as far as the Braves' desire and ability to go out, spend money now, and go get somebody as good a player as they can get as starting pitcher in right field? Does it help if they lose three of the four and they're desperate to go get somebody? Or does it help if they win and sweep all four and they say, okay, let's go get the final piece? Or are you concerned if they sweep all four, they'll go, no, we'll just kind of hang with what we got? So I don't know which way to kind of go with this.
Why would they be more desperate now, John, than they were, say, like 2 weeks ago? Like, why does the desperation level change now?
Well, here's – okay, I'll walk you through it. Because the price of poker is expensive. There are so many teams. San Diego won today on the Dylan Cease no-hitter. There are so many teams that think they can make the playoffs here, right? I mean, the Braves are in a group of like seven teams that are all within three games of the wild card with 60-some games to go. And they all look at it and say, if we make the right move now this week – we can make the playoffs. So there's going to be so many teams buying for so few players, all right? And so many teams are buying for so many. The price of poker is going to be expensive. Now, it's always parade over prospects. However, at what cost to you? You know, at what cost to you? Do you look at an A.J. Smith Shauver? Do you look at a – now, people would say, I don't care about Bryce Elder. I'm not sure about Ian Anderson, but you look at the youngsters like A.J. Smith-Shauver or Spencer Schwalenbach. All right, let's just stop for a second and take the four youngsters. Hurston Waldrop, A.J. Smith-Shauver, Spencer Schwalenbach, Owen Murphy. It's likely two of those four, if you don't trade them, it's likely two of those four are going to be in your rotation opening day next year, okay? And I don't know which of the two, which of the four are going to be. It could be. I doubt it's Owen Murphy. I think maybe you're just rushing him too fast. But so we'll take him out, though. I think he's going to be a starter for this franchise, but maybe not to the end of next year, unless they're forced to start him earlier. So it's likely that three of those three guys, two of them are going to be in the rotation, AJSS, Schwalenbach, or Hurston Waldrop. The one guy I think they don't want to part with is Hurston Waldrop. I think they look at those four guys and go, yeah, we really like Hurston. He's kind of he's going to be Strider-esque for us. And so we really don't want to give up on him. And so the question becomes, would you be willing to part with that if it meant getting a really quality player in right field in order to try to secure the wild card or to hang on to be in the playoffs? And I don't know, again, which way this series goes. You know, are you just trying to hang on? Because this goes sideways, and by Saturday morning, the Braves could be out of the wild card.
Well, and not out of the wild card, but just not in first place in the wild card anymore.
Well, I think they could actually be out.
I don't think if this series doesn't go well for them against the Mets, I don't think that's the end of the season for the Braves, so to speak. I don't think that's into the wild card for the Braves. I think it.
Well, I mean, it's not the end of the season. The Braves are going to be 58 games to go. But Orin, we talked earlier about confidence level. Who's got any confidence level in the team right now? I don't think the team's got confidence level in the team.
I think fans need to get in their heads that whatever moves the Braves make, it's not going to be along the same lines of, say, like the Dodgers or the Orioles. Teams like that who have the prospects and the cash to go after the big-name guys like the Tarik Skubals and guys like that. And
how do the Orioles have cash?
They have prospects.
Okay,
Orioles have prospects. They have prospects. Prospects and cash. Dodgers have both.
Cash.
Yeah, Dodgers have prospects and cash. Orioles have prospects. So those two teams can go. They can go swimming in the big waters. They can go shopping at the expensive grocery stores. The Braves aren't in that same boat right now. They're gonna have to.
Well,
go
of course they are.
No, they're not in that boat.
Of course they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They don't have
yes,
the same
are.
Level of
they
prospects. Don't. They don't have the same level of farm system.
No, but they have cash.
They don't
they
have
as
the
much cash as
that
they
the
want
Dodgers
spend.
Do. I read today that
yeah,
the
they
guy,
do.
I read today, John, that the guy from the White Sox, what, Crochet or whatever, whatever team he wants to go to, he wants a long-term deal. Braves
right.
weren't even like Braves weren't even originally in the running for that guy, but that just takes them farther out of the running for a guy like that because there's no cash they can put up
this.
Here extra for like it's going to be a guy, John, like a Lane Thomas. It's
okay,
going to be a guy like a Lane Thomas.
But I just want to be clear here. You're probably. I'm not arguing your point. You're probably right. It's going to be that other guy. Can we kind of, you know, find again? You look at what they were able to do with the outfield just a couple of years ago. It wasn't. Did anybody? No, I don't think anybody went.
Chemistry
oh my
that
God,
happened
you got
with
Solaire
those three
and
guys.
Robin.
Chemistry
you know?
And lineups and things like that. You were able
right.
to maneuver that around.
You're right, Oren. Don't make the mistake that we can't hold their feet to the fire and say they can spend whatever they want to spend. Okay,
we. It doesn't matter what Liberty Media does. Those are the people who
I know.
Are
but I mean, don't. But I don't want to hear money. I don't want to hear we can. Yes, you can spend it if you choose not to because you don't think somebody's worth it. That's one thing. If you don't want to spend it because you're too cheap, that's an entirely different thing, you know, because they certainly have the money to spend. This is this goes back to a conversation I had about 3 weeks ago. I'm sick and tired of Atlanta looking at, oh, Baltimore. But Baltimore's a puny little town, okay? It's a small little city. Atlanta is a megalopolis. We have to start thinking and acting like a major damn market, okay? So what, Chicago? Big deal, big whoop. We're Atlanta. We don't have two teams. We got one. You know, I mean, there's no reason we can't spend with the biggest spenders in the game. You know, and so, but I don't think that automatically means, well, you know, we're bigger than Philadelphia. Philadelphia spends fine, right?
It's a different kind of money up there in Philadelphia than it is in Atlanta, though, with the Phillies and the Post of the
How
Bears.
So? Hey, Atlanta's a wealthier town than Philadelphia.
Philadelphia has a $300 million contract on that team.
I understand that. And the only reason the Braves don't is because he got injured. I mean, but, you know, I mean, look.
They have a couple $70 million
pitches. There's no salary cap. I know, but there's no salary cap.
They got a guy, Trey Turner, who's a $100 million guy.
I understand. The problem with the Braves is Liberty Media has been shielded by the fact that Alex Anthopoulos was forced into a model. It just happened to be his model of signing guys into long-term deals at bargain basement deals. And he did it beautifully. I mean, it's a master stroke to work within the confines. Now, the Braves have one of the higher payrolls in Major League Baseball. It's not like they're down there with floating around the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, next year when more money kicks in, it's going to kick up even higher. They're going to be, I think, like the top 4 or 5 payrolls.
What more money is kicking in?
More contracts next year. So I think Acuna's money goes up. I think they're just – because the way they do their years, just the way the incremental years there – they increase as they go. So,
yeah, I know they have decisions to make. Well, we all understand that they're probably going to pass on Mac. Maybe they shock us. Maybe they do. But the problem right now is
a long-term deal.
You're
not
going to.
What if they re-sign? You're
not paying Max Fried anything. Yeah.
So, I mean, what if they re-sign one of their own guys?
Well, I think they. In their defense, I think they did with Freddie Freeman. And as you understand it, that Freddie Freeman's agent wanted him to go to Los Angeles, and we all think, don't we, that Freddie Freeman's agent didn't bother to mention that the Braves had matched the offer. Yep.
I will counter
with. Freddie said that
so
much.
I will counter with Dansby Swanson's agent wanting a much lower price from the Braves than anybody else, and the Braves saying
yes.
No.
Well, maybe not a bad idea if you see what he's hitting in Chicago.
I'm just saying, though, for all
right,
the
– We'll keep going on this. We've got to get to a break. Yeah. Dansby's wife scored 2 goals for the U.S. women's team today.
Shout out Mallory.
In their opening game at the Olympics. Yeah. That family's got one really good athlete in it. All right, quick break, top of the hour on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.